came in peace for the Marxist-Leninist way of life. It is the Soviet vending machine discussing Star City, the spinoff of For All Mankind. I'm Jason Snell, joined as always by my fine comrade, Dan Morin. Hello.
Здравствуйте, Jason.
We are discussing episode 4 of Star City, Dark Forest.
Boy, all I could think watching the first few minutes of this episode, which took me a second to realize what was happening, is if you wondered at the end of last week's episode, what could possibly convince Valya, hero of the Soviet Union, to betray his country? Well, good news. You're going to get that answered within the first like 5 minutes of the episode.
You are absolutely going to get it. This is also, by the way, this is also the episode. I mean, like, is Star City one of those kind of shows where you introduce a character early on in the episode, and by the end of the episode, she's probably going to Venus? It is. that is what this show is. That is showing its For All Mankind DNA there for sure. So yeah, this episode begins with a woman waking up, putting a little button camera on and submitting files on a dissident group, Zeta Group. It's 1964. Now, Tanya is in this group, but she's sort of on the outs with a guy who's in the group. But then she meets Valya, at which point the realization is there's an opportunity for him to be used as an American asset because they're going to move to Star City. So this is one of those examples where the presumably Americans are watching Soviet dissident groups,
yep,
in the hopes of finding targets for espionage. And
or assets to use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Targets to be turned into assets. Tanya is in the group, but they're, you know, it's not like they're interested super in Tanya, but like Tanya then meets Valya, and Valya is going to be a cosmonaut. And that's when they're like, ah, I see. And they go, like, he's waiting for the bus.
Yep.
And she makes contact with him, and we can't hear what she says because we see it through the bus, through the driver's window, and then all the way to the other side.
They don't get on the bus.
They don't get on the
bus.
But this is, they are using Tanya's past as a dissident to ensure his cooperation, because they are basically saying, if you know, don't work with us, we can make your wife's past known, and you know what will happen then to you and her.
And a brilliant, I mean, brilliant and awful move, but, you know, certainly right out of the playbook. And of course, what I love about this is that, you know, the context that we got set up for at the end of last week was Tanya spotting Valya with his handler and coming to the natural conclusion, oh, he's having an affair.
Right.
Right. And of course, it turns out it's exactly the opposite, is that he has been doing this all along to protect her.
Right. Yeah. That is the twist. Now we know who this woman is, and she is his handler, and he agreed to do this because they were threatening his wife because of her dissident past. That's our cold open. Very exciting. They are looking at the parts from the returned spacecraft that was tragically they lost a cosmonaut last time, but it's Korolev and Ludmilla, along with Sergei, our helpful engineer. And what they find is that there is a Soviet part, but with a microtransmitter of an unknown origin added to it, and they dismiss, it's like, Sergei, get out of here.
Yep, you've seen enough.
Leading to a good line, which is, it wasn't sabotage. It was espionage. I like it. I like it. Another one of my eagles is dead. He's very upset. And then I really like this.
Yeah.
I like this exchange. But again, we've been talking about the fascination between Korolev and Ludmilla.
Yeah.
Where he's like the chief designer and irreplaceable man, but she's the KGB arm of the state, right? Like,
right. So they both have like their fiefdoms, right? And it's a question of who is more important / who wields more power. Yeah. And there's a bit of a seesaw there, and he flips it around on her like,
I love this
isn't my problem. This is your problem.
It's like, yeah, you didn't hold up your side. And he's like, are you kidding? I handle engineering. You handle security. How was this allowed? She's like, look, it's a spy part in one of your little things for your thing. And he's like, you handle security? Why is there a spy part in my thing? I'm not taking the fall for your failures. And I love this moment because, you know, in shows like this and stories like this and in Star City specifically, Ludmilla, as the terrifying KGB person, right?
Yep.
Is often interpreted as being the projection of all state power. And in this right. moment, I feel like Korolev gets to turn the tables in a really delightful way and say, wait a second, I'm the chief designer. We have a security problem. I'm not the one in trouble here. And yeah. to turn the tables on Ludmilla, who often seems terrifying and all-powerful, right?
Right.
And this episode does this a lot. Lots of tables are turning on Ludmilla here.
Yeah, I like this because it's the first moment that we kind of see her on her back foot.
Yeah.
She is, because she's like kind of blanching a bit at this, like, you know, she tries, right? She's trying to summon her same thing. There's a bit here where he says to her, like, oh, you let your side down. And she's like, I wasn't aware we were on different sides. He's like, like, guess you're going to have to find out. And you kind of see, Anna Maxwell Martin does a great work here, just being like the kind of, you see her realizing, oh, this is going to be a problem yeah. for me. Because even if I can't browbeat Korolev into like being afraid of me, like, this is going to roll downhill onto me. Because this is the problem with the security apparatus, is if it works in a atmosphere of fear and intimidation, then you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So you got to worry about people like you are very, very good at doing this and very happy when you're doing all the disappearing. But if you're the person getting disappeared, it's not as nice, is it?
That's so great. That's so great. I just the idea, because, you know, Soviet stuff, it's going to be a kind of there's that bureaucratic element of it, too. And I think that this is a really good moment where she is so used to leaning on everybody else. And Korolev is like, wait a second, whose job is this? Seems to me it's your job. And it's like the bureaucratic answer to what mm-hmm. to this question of, like, you think this is my failure? You're so used to blaming everybody else. No, this is you. This is why are you here? Why are you exerting all this power if somebody can come into Star City and put a thing in my spaceship? So it's a good moment, really good moment. Let's meet Lakshmi. She's walking down the long lab hallway. She's got her lab coat. She's from India. She's come to Star City. She's a brilliant person who's been given terrible, terrible equipment or facilities. Her equipment isn't there. Nobody has told me what I've been working on. They said, this is normal. Maybe there was a mix-up. Can I see the chief designer? And it's like, no. Her husband, when they get to the apartment, he's like, we're being listened to. I complained about flies and a fly swatter appeared.
I love that moment.
It's like, we don't even get, we're being helpful. You're helpful.
That's the nicest surveillance people in the world.
Yeah. Oh, like, we got a fly swatter with you. And he's mad. And he's like, are you a spy? I was like, well, no. Then it's that classic, well, if we're not spies, we don't have anything to worry about. Also, can you hand me that fly swatter?
I gotta get that fly.
But she's having that. So that is a really interesting thread in this episode.
Enjoy that Irina's old frenemy from the first episode, who she displaces in the secretary pool as the favorite, is stuck basically transcribing them just speaking Hindi to each other because they're trying to talk around the surveillance.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's got to be a tough job because I'm guessing you don't know Hindi.
Yeah, or you're going to have to find somebody who does, presumably, but
at some point, but that's pretty hard to transcribe if you don't know, like,
it, no, yeah, it's impossible.
That's going to be a toughie. It's a toughie.
You got to flag that and say, we need somebody who understands this language to speak that. She does. So later, I'm going to follow Lakshmi here. Later, she's at the lab and she's in the hallway.
Working
and she,
late.
And she hears here's this sound. She's like, what is that? And she follows it. It's this pounding sound. And she does the thing where she goes down the stairs and then comes back up the other side into the secret place that Korolev is using for his Venus stuff. And he's the one doing the pounding. He tells her, hand me that wrench. She says, so you've been relegated out here to the fringes too. And he says, don't underestimate yourself. Your work on self-sustaining generation of breathable air is the future of space travel. What? What? Huh?
What?
You know my work? And he says, of course I do. It's the final piece required for us to conquer the cosmos. And she's and she's like, yeah, my system would have saved 77 kilograms. No offense to whoever designed it. And he says, none taken. It's like, are you getting it yet? You're him? Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. He says, I'm sorry. I didn't actually bring you here to get us to the moon. We've been to the moon. Boring. We're going to Venus.
What? And of course, he's got all his her lab equipment set up for her.
Yeah. She actually says, you're going to Venus. He says, no, we are going to Venus. And by we, I mean you. But that comes in a later scene. And yeah, her lab equipment is there. That Korolev, he's doing sneaky stuff. And then later, when they're checking in on the Venus stuff, who's talking to the chief designer here? Is this Sasha?
It's Sasha, and it's Pavel, who is the third of the cosmonauts that was on Luna 17.
Right. Those guys. It's like, how are we doing? Stuff is moving. Lakshmi gives us life support. Who will we assign to this mission? He says, I have that handled. She walks in on the cosmonauts. It's very funny. It's like, do you need something? No. Do you? It's like, why are we here? I need a crew. And they're like, well, we were grounded off Luna 17. That's great for me. I need somebody to go in a spaceship for 9 months, and they don't care where you are. And then he looks at Lakshmi and is like, you also will go with them. Because this is like, I can't
train to train them
your system and all of that. And she says, I'm not a cosmonaut. The answer is, well, you are now.
Yeah.
What? He's out of control, this chief designer. He's out of control. Yeah,
the conversation earlier is, I think, actually with Sergey, because they're talking about...
Oh, it is Sergey. That's
right. The window. Like, we got to launch the
helpful
unmanned probe
Sergey.
Is off
that's
in
right.
The Cosmodrome, and we got to launch it.
Right, that's it. And he's wondering how you're going to do that. And he's like, leave that to me. I've got a cosmonaut plan. And this is the cosmonaut plan.
Yeah. And the other concern at the time is, you know, Sergey's being like, maybe we should, you know, back off because the security, right? Like, they're now interrogating everybody about... the espionage, and so maybe this is a bad time for us to do sneaky science. And the designer's like, nope, we're doing it.
Yeah. And so Sasha's really like, Pavel is like, I'll do it. And Sasha's like, I don't know, I gotta think about it. And this is where Korolev's like, I invested in you. I need a good pilot with impulses that shouldn't be controlled. And he's like, I can't take any more lives. He's struggling with the death in the last episode. And this is when we get the inspirational speech, which is he would never, the guy who died in the last episode, we would never let you use him as his excuse. He has no more missions. You owe it to him and to yourself to keep going. I like that. I really like that.
This is, I think we've skipped around a little bit, but this is after they go to the wake.
Yeah, I'm trying to follow this Venus thread.
The
here,
Venus thread.
There's a whole lot going on. We'll get to the lake later. Anyway, so Venus. What is going on there? They've got a how they're going to do like a secret launch. I don't even know. But
Also, Volya is in the circle on this. Because last time, right, didn't he get the chief designer brings him in to the secrecy about it? I think because he's looking to figure out because Volya does the training and stuff. And so is the question, A, has he read in his handler on this? And B, do they want to know? Is there going to be an espionage angle on this, right? Or do they need to know? We don't, again, from the For All Mankind world, I don't think we really know anything about a Venus mission. As you pointed out, Venus, not a great place to go.
And it is an open space in the For All Mankind lore. So that's clever. We don't, know.
Did this mission fail? Did it succeed, but they kept it under wraps? Like, we have no idea what's happening with this.
No idea. All right. Backing up. So Irina goes to Ludmilla and says, I have some petty speculation. And she's like, stop it. Just get your stuff covered and go figure it out. Which is, I think it's, this is the flip side of Ludmilla, which is like, she's identified, it's tough love, but she's identified in Irina the possibility that she could be a really good agent. And she tells her here, like, don't give me idle speculation. Get somebody to cover your shifts as a transcriber and go find out, that follow the lead, right? Follow your lead also, and bring a gun.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, those are the two key KGB rules. Yep. What I like about this, too, is that it also points to a little bit of Ludmilla having a... You get the impression that though she has a lot of resources, she maybe is a little short on, like, people with brains that she can trust. Like, she's got a lot of, like, heavies. She's got a lot of thugs. We'll see them a little later in this episode. But she doesn't necessarily have people who do a lot of thinking and trying to suss out things. And in that... Irina is an opportunity for
us.
It's also, to a certain extent, she's also kind of a deniable asset, right? Because she sends her off and it's not like she's still basically a secretary.
Yeah, she's not doing her job. Right? But I like your interpretation that in a totalitarian state and in the security apparatus, you know, there are some challenges there about, like, how do you identify talent? And there's probably a lot of really messed up people who are dangerous and you wouldn't want to use, or wouldn't want to use for the same things. But there's also, like, you need to identify, and she, with Irina, she has identified, like, this girl has moxie, right? Like, she could
spunk.
We're going to give her, and she might like spunk. So she's going to give her this opportunity. We'll see where it leads her. I should say, so Tanya is sad about Valya's behavior and she thinks he's cheating, obviously, and he's also acting disturbed, which is presumably because he knows that it was his thing that he planted on the spaceship that ultimately led to the death of one of his fellow cosmonauts, and that is not so great.
He might get caught.
And he may get caught for it, right? And now he's directly, like, it's doubly bad because he's also, even if he doesn't get caught, like, what he did, now the cost of that is now measured in a life of one of his comrades.
And if he gets caught, it's not as though Tanya will get off scot-free.
Exactly.
Right? She is going to be indicted by association, if nothing else.
Right, right. Meanwhile, Sasha is having bad dreams about the accident as well. They have the memorial for the dead eagle. There's the here is the letter he wrote you, which
what
has
a
got
move.
All the things cut out, all the redacted stuff cut out of it. Just literally scissor cut
just
out of
awful.
It.
Awful. Boy, that scene. Here's the
X-Acto knife cut out of it. Yeah. But the cosmonauts are here for you. And then there's the and Sasha and Valya have a conversation, I think it is, and it's like, it should have been me. You didn't kill him. Did you cause the interference? You didn't. And it's like, you did, Valya.
You did. That was you. Look in the mirror.
Whoa.
It's you. That's rough. Because now we've got that hanging between the two of them. That, you know, these two guys who are close friends. And, you know, Valya is keeping that away from him. A lot of drama there.
Yeah. We see Belikova giving a speech to the Soviet women of Leningrad or whatever.
I like that she's got very Elizabeth II vibes. The hair, giving the very precise speech, you know.
It's just appearances, public appearances. So she, to follow that thread, and then she's looking at someone, there's a man down below, and on the train, it's the handler, and she says, they have a conversation, you were with Gagarin, weren't you? When did he know he would never go back to space? And he says, after the world tour. And he's offered her a flask before, and she said, no. She's like, give it to me. Yep. Give me the flask.
Because we see our, the scene before that where she's looking down, it's our friend, the apparatchik.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's talking to some factory owner who's like, oh, I want her to come talk at my factory.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Like,
oh, she's doing the maybe, doing the tour, and then the handler, who's a fun character.
I like him.
So when we get back to her later, she's appearing at like a math department at a school.
She is drunk.
Yeah. I mean, she's just drinking from the flask now. She is, cause she's super depressed cause she knows she's never going back to space. And this is her whole life now, is making public appearances like the queen. But the guy from the math department, likes her. The entire physical faculty bring her food on a plate. You don't want the food that they serve in the cafeteria. We brought you some good food. And she said, I'm just a hungry farm girl. I'd love to go somewhere where nobody knows who I am. And it's like, my DACA is 20 minutes from here. There might even be a cow or maybe it's a goat. And she's like, let's do it. And the security guy's like,
rolls his eyes like,
okay, I guess. And which leads us to a scene where there is revelry and model rockets at the DACA at the lake. As the handler just stands there in his suit looking on, unfortunately, and they're like in various states of kind of undress, and it's definitely like there's connection between
booze,
these characters.
And,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
Oh, they're having a great time. And then Sasha shows up and basically takes her away, and they fight. And I think it's very funny.
One thing leads to another.
They fight, and then it leads to an argument of like, you stink, you're no fun. Oh, poor Anastasia. Oh, so sad. You suck. Oh, well. And then they, that turns into...
And then they make out.
And turns into romance. And as my notes say, perhaps they are making a Martian governor here. That's possible. Anyway, I really enjoyed them firing off the model rockets and all of that, because she's just so desperate. Her story is going somewhere. We don't know where, but I think interesting where it's exploring this idea of like, how does she react to being a figurehead? And right. She's not like super thrilled by
not
it.
Not into it.
Ludmilla interviews a bunch of people because she's trying to get to the bottom of what's going on here. She talks to launch engineers, the crew, maybe the trainers. She says these are the suspects. They put up a list of like, you know, basically who could have possibly done this. At which point she gets a call from her superiors in Moscow. And she's like, I'm on it. They're like, well, why don't you come in and tell us about it? And she's like, no, I'm working. I'm still working on it. And they're like, no.
I'm so busy.
I think you don't understand. You are going to come now. and I looked it up. Star City is just kind of just outside Moscow. It is not a world away. And so when they're like, you will come
today.
But
you're worried about coming back.
Yeah, that's the problem. it's not the time going. It's whether you'll ever get back or not. So Tanya goes to Sasha, right? We know they have a relationship. Yep. And she asks about Belikova, like, where does she sleep? Who cooks dinner? And then finally she says, I saw Volya with a woman. And he laughs because he thinks Volya is so, which he is, so devoted to you. He's like, was it his mother? Like, it felt intimate, though. Like, they knew each other well. And he's like, he's not cheating on you. I wish he would. It would be good for him. And
it'd
then
be good
like,
for him.
F you. Yeah.
Well, but there's that point earlier on too in the episode where she's like snooping through his stuff.
Yeah.
And she finds like a diary, you know, a notebook, and there's a photograph, and she doesn't want to turn it over, and she turns it over, and it's a picture of her.
Of her.
And you're like, oh.
Because this is the whole point, is like, it's not a lie, but she has decided that it is. And I find it very funny when...
Well, she's jumped to a conclusion too based on her own... like
infidelities,
you know, she cheated on him, so
absolutely. But that, I think it's very funny that Sasha
just laughs,
says, of course he's devoted to you. I wish he would sleep around, but he won't because he's so devoted to you. Which I mean, that's got to hit her on a couple levels, right? Because of her infidelity and the fact that he does, you know, at least his friend here says he actually is that devoted to you. This is not his problem, it's your problem. I think that's it's kind of interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I enjoyed that bit.
Arena is working the case. Junior KGB detective Arena is working the case, and she's trying to find out the part for the spacecraft. And so it's like, go to the factory that makes the part. We make a number of these each day, the guy says.
This interaction. Yeah, this is one of my favorite scenes in this episode.
Yeah. So she does pulls the bureaucratic card, right? Which is like, I have noted multiple violations in your factory's processes.
I'm sure you work so hard. The
regulations
must be so tough.
I'm just trying. And then he talks and he says, okay, this is modified, and it was not modified. It's cool, right? He's like,
but then he gets like into it. He's like, what the hell is this thing?
This is not Soviet. This is an unusual alloy. He has that moment where he's like, where did you get this? This is obviously smuggled into the Soviet Union. We have nothing like that. This is like four times the thermal capacity of copper. It's an incredible heat sink. And she's like, you need to show me who bought your stuff, because I need to see your purchasing records. This is like, we need to follow the thread here, because somebody from this period, you know, bought this, and like, I need to find out who could have built this archives. And then swapped it. Yeah. That's going to be interesting. So Ludmilla, meanwhile, at the Kremlin, she's welcome to do a scary Kremlin office right out of Chernobyl.
I adored this scene, too, because it's a pair of actors who I recognize from other things. That's Will Keane as the director there, who was, among other things, he was in His Dark Materials. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in The Crown. And he's got that, like, right out of central casting look. He's great as the director here. And then the slightly smug deputy.
First deputy of the second chief directorate.
I stared at this guy for like 5 minutes, and I was like, I know that smug smile. I was like, he was in a mystery show I really enjoy called Miss Scarlet, in which he is a troublesome Irish detective and is wonderful in that show because he's always getting into the most ridiculous scrapes. And I was like, I know that smirk that he's got, and he's just, I like him. He's really fun, and we get the feeling he's gonna pop up again probably because he knows a lot about engineering in addition to being an experience. Yeah. So he is Ludmilla's rival at this point. Like, Ludmilla, if anybody's going to take her job, it's this guy.
Yeah, Ludmilla dismisses him. But like he points out, like, my mother was actually in your typing pool.
Yeah.
But she retired to have a family, which there's an implication there that a woman like Ludmilla is doing it wrong because she stayed in the workforce and didn't have a family. I think there's some implication of that there.
It seemed like there was some tension too, because like maybe Ludmilla did something to her,
it's Ludmilla
facilitated her retirement.
Anyway, it's like, paperwork, am I right? That's another thing that happens in there. This is how it's done now. So she continues to throw poor Yana under the bus. Says, I guess she wasn't working alone. It was like she knows that she wasn't the mole, but it doesn't matter. She's going to throw that in there. I caught the one cosmonaut who was bad, even though she, you know, that wasn't actually true. Anyway, yes, he studied engineering. She says, should I be concerned? And he says, you're a hero. And she says, that sounds like something that would be in an obituary. It's really good.
Yeah, that sounds like great. Yeah.
And she says, I will contain this. I can assure you. And the response is, see that you do. There's going to be more about this. This is Ludmilla getting the pressure of the other side. Because, right, like, in the end, it's what Korolev said, which is, it's your job to secure Star City. It's supposed to be the most secure site in the Soviet Union. And it's not. And we sent a bug from the Americans to the moon. Like, that's not good. So she's getting in. The pressure is on.
She's on the carpet.
Ludmilla. Meanwhile, Irina is back looking at the records at the plant, trying to find who got sold this stuff. She hears something. Somebody is burning records. They shoot at her, and she finds the remnants of burned pages. So, okay, it's on. Something is absolutely wrong at this factory.
It's interesting questions, right? Because we know the Americans, obviously, or whoever our handler of Valia is working for, we assume the Americans, given the technology. How big is their operation?
Right.
Have they infiltrated the whole plant? Or why are they here right now? They must know that she's here. Like, there's a lot. There's cleaning up happening.
Lots of questions going on there. In a surprising development, army suits appear at the lab, and the aforementioned Samizdat forbidden book that Sergei likes, if he recognizes the Fyodorov, and he says half the engineers have read it. And he says, "Would you care to name them?"
Yes, that is a chilling but hilarious line.
Yeah, take them in. So they take him in, they hose him down, they lock him up. So that's a twist. Our engineer friend has now been taken away by the security apparatus.
Yeah, which is interesting because we know in the future he will be both sympathetic to the U.S., obviously, but also suborned to work for the KGB. So,
By Irina.
So, how is that? We have not really seen the two of them interact at all. I feel like they're
not yet.
I feel like this show's keeping their powder dry a little bit for that relationship because they know it's got to happen, but we haven't yet gotten to the point where those two characters need to their stories intersect quite right. enough, but we're getting there.
We're getting there. And then our last scene, and it's a big one.
Oh,
Irina comes over to Tanya's because remember her daughter is a student of Tanya's for music. It's late in the day. She's tired. She got shot at today.
It's been a long day.
Her daughter is still there, kind of sleeping. Obviously, like her lesson was over and her mom didn't come to get her because she was looking at records and getting shot at. She says, let's make some tea. So Valya's in Moscow for some training thing, or so he says, she says, because she's still, she says, I saw him with a woman. He said he was going to the toilet. And again, again, nobody will agree. Nobody will buy her story about this. They're like, he adores you. And she says, you've never even met him. And she's like, no, I mean, yeah, right. It's just what I'm told is that he adores her. And not that I listen to all of your intimate conversations because that's my job at the KGB. It's a great, like, what,
I love that, but I also sat there thinking, Tanya has walked around to multiple people and been like, I think my husband's having an affair
yeah.
in rooms that are recorded.
Yeah.
And like, she needs to be a little more circumspect about that, or else she's going to get them all hauled in.
That's also true. Well, it's not going to matter by the end of the scene.
No.
That leads to, Irina says to Tanya, have you ever been unfaithful? And she says, no, never. And Irina's like, mm-hmm. I've heard you having sex with another man, but okay. But she does the thing that she did again. This is a setup from a previous episode. She asked to go use the toilet because remember the French perfume is in there. She looks at the telltale perfume. She pops off the top. She's like, "Wait a second!"
Because she tries
spray.
To spray it.
It doesn't
work,
spray.
Yeah.
And she. Is there room in there for that ring? She puts the ring in it and puts it down. And then this is the heat sink ring that was part of the
it's a great spring too.
The thing. Oh, it does work perfectly. And she's like, okay, I know what's happening now. And that's how we end is Irina has figured out that Valya is the source. That's, you know,
daunt.
I mean, she's gonna prove Ludmilla's faith in her right and probably save Ludmilla's bacon a little bit, but it's bad news for Tanya and Valya.
Yeah.
Because remember, that one of the things about this show is you have to remind yourself, like, oh, she solved the mystery. Our friend, one of our main characters solved the mystery of who is the spy who's sabotaging the... And then you're like,
Wait,
it's the KGB and those people are going to get killed. Oh, no.
Yeah, Valya's going to wish he'd volunteered for a 9-month mission to Venus for sure.
For sure. Yeah, and that's where we end up at the end of episode 4, The Dark Forest. So
we're only halfway through this season. I thought this would take a little longer to spool out, but they really, bam, bam, bam. We have gone through and I'm very curious to see how it's going to resolve in this because like I feel like these are a couple of our main characters. We can't just murder them right now, can we?
Right, and I wonder like there's the deniability. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Valya and Tanya get taken away. There are lots of other characters too. I could see it, but there's also the question of like they don't always immediately get taken away. Sometimes they're useful. And remember, ultimately, they don't want to just get rid of Valya. They want to find who's sending.
Hammer.
You know, they want to trace the source all the way back.
And we don't know. We also don't know whether he's the only.
That's true.
Asset,
it's
right?
true.
Because there could be it's others. True.
And then there's, you know, him, people liking Valya, and, you know, does Korolev try to protect him? Does Korolev send him on a 9-month mission to Venus? Probably not. They would be looking for him. Where is he? We can't find him anywhere. Well, maybe
just
he's
look
on
up
Venus.
There in the sky.
He's getting away from it all. I don't know. It is. This is good for me. I really like this episode because I like this kind of paranoid.
Yeah, the spy thriller. Is
yeah,
really,
I really enjoy. I enjoy Irina getting shot at the factory. That's such a great moment of like, oh, I am on.
There's stakes
like,
here.
Yeah, am I onto something here? And then it's like it's revealed. Well, they're burning stuff and shooting at you, so you totally are.
Maybe more onto things than you wish you were.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the good news is you got it. The bad news is they're shooting at you now. Yeah. So,
She took the required course. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So yeah, that's episode four. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. Still enjoying this show. Good stuff.
Yeah, me too. It's rolling along. It's got some. The intrigue is really strong. I continue to love the look of this show. Mm-hmm. Like they really amp up the sort of grain and grit of the look of it. Right. There's like it's very film grainy. It's very, you know, desaturated. Like everything about it looks so good from a period standpoint. It's one of the things I think I maybe said this before. But it's one of the things I miss from the recent seasons of All for All Mankind, which, you know, obviously take place in closer to the modern day and thus look a little bit more samey with a lot of other stuff that you watch, a lot of other science fiction. Whereas this is so, and I say this because I watched like episode of this back to back at one point with For All Mankind and was like, wow, it looks totally different.
Yeah. 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 I'm really enjoying it. Well, okay. We will be back next time with episode 5 because it comes after 4. But until next week, when there will be a lot of fallout, the telltale French perfume and more, plus is Lakshmi going to Venus with her, you know, with her lab equipment? I don't know. We may or may not find out next time, but we'll be back right here and we hope you join us. Until then, do svidaniya, Dan.
Do svidaniya, Jason.